Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you all here. Father, we praise you for this hour. Thank you for drawing us here today. We praise you for Jesus and for his precious sacrifice that he made for us on Calvary's cross. Father, we thank you that through his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, each of us here today who has placed their trust and faith in him alone to save us from our sins, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We're born again. We praise you for the joy and the truth of that. We thank you for what you have done for us. Even as we shared in Sunday school, why us, Father? We don't know, but we love you. And we praise you and we thank you for the mercy and the grace and the love that you have showered upon us in ways that we can't even comprehend. Thank you for the day by day you're with us in trials and in joys. Your Spirit strengthens us and encourages us and guides us as we navigate these waters. And Father, we praise you for this fellowship, for this church, for the blessing to be here together, to encourage one another in our faith, to have our eyes fixed on you, to learn more of you and of each other, to be drawn closer together. We praise you for our brother Ari as he's here today to share. It is such a blessing to hear him share in Sunday school, and we thank you that he'll be coming shortly and presenting more of what you have laid on his heart as we learn about the work and the ministry he's involved in and what you've given him to share with us today from your word. Father, thank you for the fellowship that will happen afterwards as we gather together downstairs for some soup and fellowship together, and he'll share a little more at that time as well. May your Spirit bless in all of these things. We commit this hour to you, and may you minister to each heart what we need today. And Father, if there might be someone here today who has not yet put their trust in Jesus, we pray that they would see clearly who he is and what he did for them, and that they'll call upon his name and be saved. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That we can come into your presence knowing that you are there and that you love us. We thank you that you're with us all the time. You never leave us nor forsake us. And we're looking forward to the service this morning, the message. We pray your blessings upon your word, that it might speak to our hearts and draw us close to you. We do pray, our Father, today for those who are going through difficult times right now. We think of Jane, and she'll be with her, and help her through this surgery. We pray that she will come out without difficulty and soon be well again. We pray also for Mark Driver. He has to have a disc removed. We pray that you'll undertake for him. And we pray for the Kellers as they will be going to Armenia very soon. We pray that you will go before them, prepare the way, and grant that they might have a blessed ministry there in Armenia. We do pray for the elections coming up very soon now. We pray that your holy will be done regarding who will lead this nation for the next 4 years. We just commit that all into your hands. And Lord, we do want to pray for Israel today. We thank you so much for your chosen people that you have set aside as your very own. And we do pray, our Father, that you will be with them and bless them. Grant that they might have victory over their enemies and live in peace. Thank you for all your grace and love to us today, and pray that your will would be done in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Chosen People Ministries exists to pray for, evangelize, and disciple Jewish people everywhere, and to help others do the same. And it is a ministry that serves in 16 countries around the world, with headquarters in New York City, which was noted as the largest concentration of Jewish people in the world, is in New York City. And Ari is on staff with Chosen People Ministries. We heard about this in Sunday school. Maybe he'll share a little more. His desire is to help educate and equip believers to share about the miracle of forgiveness of sins. He's a blessing and a dear brother. And so, Ari, you'll come forward.
All right, shalom everyone.
Shalom.
Great to hear Pastor say that there's visitors here today. did you think as a visitor you'd be coming and there'd be someone wearing a yarmulke coming up here preaching at the Our Father and our King, God, thank you that you are good and you are real. And you're not just good and real, right? You are compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, full of chesed and then loving kindness and truth. And that you forgive and carry away even all different kinds of depths of sin, multiple kinds of sin. It's a miracle. You are a just God. And the exchange of the cross, the fact that Jesus would go ahead and stand in, right, take that justice that we deserve on him, it's thank you. Thank you that you would even care to love on us to be a redeemer. And in our time right here, God, help us to just love you more and to love other people more. And that we would lift you up and that you would be glorified. And we pray for that. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, I like amen quarters. I don't know. So here, let me do a little introduction. Like I said, yeah, my name is Ari Howland. I actually live in Drexel Hill. I'm right in Delaware County. And I grew up in Yardley, in Bucks County. My parents still are alive and live there. And they have my daughter. One of my daughters. Are we recording this and trying to visit?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, great. That helps me to know what to say or not to say. particularly things about my daughter. So, I want to say as much as we can about the Lord, but I'll restrict on that. I grew up in just a real loving Jewish home. All of my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, Jewish, all my great-grandparents came here to America pre-World War I. And having a conversation actually last night with my parents, they were over at our house, and we were also talking about some other different family scenarios. And my family really kind of stayed in New York and then kind of migrated here. Our family, though, over time, kind of part of, you know, American assimilation and so forth. And so my dad, tons of cousins, and we get together, and then lots of people in my generation. And I'm one of three boys, and my dad's brother had three boys, and they grew up about 2 miles down the road. And of the six of us, like brother cousins, I'm the only one of the six of us that married Jewish. None of them, and not only that, none of my second cousins, third cousins, none of them married believers. So actually, even across my generation, you know, a lot of the people that didn't really marry Jewish. So my brother's wife is just a wonderful, wonderful, sweet lady, and my cousin's wife, but there aren't any, you know, believers. And you know, the irony, this is not a better than less than scenario. The irony is, you know, here I am, I'm Jewish, and I married another woman who's a born again Jewish believer, and you know, and we're the Jesus believers. you know, I'll show some pictures and some things later on, but we have what's called a sukkah that we built, you know, in our backyard that we were in yesterday with my family, and so the yarmulke that I'm even wearing right now is actually from my daughter's bat mitzvah. In terms of still Jewish identity, different kinds of cultural markers and things as to who we live in, and you know, some biblical Jewish context, you know, this is part of just, you know, walking out the faith as to how we do it. And so even though bar mitzvahs are only really not biblical, that's really more identity, you know, cultural markers, it is kind of ironic that in our family, none of my brothers, like with their kids, my nieces and nephews, or cousins' kids, they didn't have these. So it's very kind of interesting in my family that, you know, we're the not only just kind of the Jesus believers, you know, I'm a missionary, my life is just trying to share, you know, about Jesus as the way, the truth, the life, and then no one comes up to the Father except by him, right? And so, you know, and yet we're the ones that are, you know, kind of still walking out, and I actually even have more of an appreciation and for my Jewish identity and heritage and context and love for Israel and post-Sabbath. So it's a very interesting kind of dynamic, you know, in our family. And so what's really kind of special is I know you have your Jewish People Ministries, as was mentioned. This is our 130th year as a missions organization. I started serving with Chosen People in 2015. And to pray for, evangelize, right? Disciple, right? Serve Jewish people, and to teach others to do the same. And that's a very big piece. We talked about some of that I was going to say Shabbat school, right? Sunday school beforehand. And because there are ways that Gentile Christian, non-Jewish believers can touch and reach the heart of my people in ways I can't. I'm going to actually share a little bit about that right here. You know, there are certain ways that as a Jewish person, I can maybe in a little bit more of a living way try to represent or maybe try to come against some of the objections that our people have, historically have now, about considering the true claims of Yeshua, of Jesus, right? Yeshua is just a Hebrew way to say Jesus, of him truly being the Messiah, our Savior, you know, God the Son, and sometimes the objections are, well, you can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. You know, different versions of that. Now, they might disagree, they might think I'm misguided and wrong, but actually I can be kind of a living example. And certainly that no, you can still live that way and believe in Jesus. But another big category of objections that our people have is related to persecution and persecution history. And unfortunately, also thinking about when it comes to the truth claims about Yeshua and Jesus, the historical waves of Christian persecution. Now, I want you to know, sometimes when a Christian, a Gentile believer, shares with my people that, no, you can still be Jewish and believe in Jesus, and there might be some great, wonderful, truthful things being shared, but on some level, to a Jewish ear, an unsaved Jewish ear, it sounds academic, because they're also not seeing maybe some of the growth. But in the same way, when I talk with my people, cry with my people, even, about historic persecution, and maybe I'm trying to talk and share about that, or in context, or it's still kind of academic. But a Gentile Christian believer can actually be more of a living example to come against that objection in ways I can't. Because they then can be able to be an example of someone who's thankful that it's the God of Israel that gave them the miracle of forgiveness of sin. Or that it's the God of Abraham that saved them by grace. Amen. Right? And through faith. And so they can be different or contrary to historic examples or right, contrary to like prejudices. They can actually do that. And maybe our Jewish people might be trying, at least interested to figure out, like, why are you even coming from that perspective? They can come against, you can come against that objection, which in many ways is the more visceral objection that might even hold our people from wanting to even hear more. In many ways, Christians, when I say Christians, I'm a born-again Jewish believer, we know Messiah, it's the same word, it's Christ, right, Messiah. But there are ways that people can be reached and touched. And so part of our ministry, right, is to share with others. And so we're going to go through some pictures. I'm going to share a little bit about more of who I am. It's just a blessing that this church, for those that are here, has been led by the Lord amongst a variety of different missionaries. You heard about someone, you know, the family, now they're in Algeria, is that what you said? They're in Ukraine, they're in Russia. But a variety of different people that this church would want to go ahead and partner with our ministry to be able to get the gospel to our people. And thank you, thank you. So, can you go to the next slide?
Oops.
Not that slide. when it comes back on, then you can go to the next slide. Right. In the meantime, I just want you to know, over in the corner, after services, I know that we're going to have some time. I'm going to go to this, see what we're going to talk about things. There's going to be a variety of resources that are over there, different free resources. Actually, you can, I think it's okay to have the lights on a little bit. Even though the PowerPoint. Yeah, you can put the lights on. That's okay. I appreciate that. Yeah, is that still okay?
Sure.
Yeah. So this is one of our evangelistic and sharing things called Never Again, Never Alone, a way of talking to our people about what's actually
next slide.
What we're going through right now. This is fantastic for Christians and Messianic Jews to have as a way of just sharing, right? We're never alone really because of the Lord. There's a variety of different materials over there. How would you know the Messiah? Some of the tracts and things that we give out. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, right? You know, some of the different things. I know you have Romans Road and other stuff on your website. This is a tract that is in all in Hebrew and Yiddish. It's actually the Beatitudes. This is some stuff that we actually share with other different kinds of Jewish people, Orthodox Jewish people, and like, which of our sages of old said such wonderful things? And so there's a variety of just different kind of materials and tracts back there. There are also some books. There's something called Isaiah 53 explaining, you know, a few of these. This is free. This is basically the granddaddy of all of the messianic prophecies.
Yeah.
And so some people, there's materials back there where people can sign up for our once a month prayer newsletter, right? Where people can freely go ahead and get that and find out what's happening. And then there's a little bit of teaching, some things to help encourage you. And so a lot of times people do that and then go ahead and, you know, it's a free book. There's other materials we have there. This is called How to Introduce Your Friends, Your Jewish Friends to the Messiah. This is another book on engaging with Jewish people. This is one called Sharing Jesus in a Jewish Way. All different kinds of things, right? But there's also some other academic books and things over there. This is something about what the rabbis of old say about Messiah. Materials galore that we want to share evangelistically, and we want to just be a resource and of service to you. So it might be that these are things that we're going to provide and just have for the church personally, for myself. In the back there is a postcard, right? This is of my family. My contact information is on the back, so if you want to take this, right, put it in, not in your fridge. You can put it in your fridge, right? You can put it on your fridge and right in your Bible. But my email, phone number's on the back. Please, if I can just be a resource in any way, this is our joy. There is something on the back here that says online donations. If the Lord puts it on your heart, and personally to want to go ahead and to connect in the future and partner, be a part of that work individually, there's a way to do that and connect with me here. Very self-explanatory. But my business cards that have contact information, because I'm really here to serve you and to really be just a resource for you. This is my favorite verse, period. It really is something I say to myself over and over again. And the piece is right here, I can duck down, right? Not by works, right? We're saved by grace, we're saved, right? This is not of ourselves, it is a gift. It's a gift of God. Right? Not by works, not by our works, so that no man may boast, right? Not in myself. I can boast in what the Lord does. And, you know, it's funny, I think one of the reasons why my family and my parents know that I can believe something is true and something else is not true and share about Jesus is because, thankfully, God has at least built this up, that it's because they know that I believe this is just, in spite of me, in a sense, right, regardless of me. This is this beautiful gift. And so it's not this higher than less than kind of a scenario. Even to the point that my parents, when I went through seminary and I got a master's of divinity degree, my parents actually bought me this, like, robust computer Bible program. Mm-hmm. And I said, I go, Dad, you understand this is about helping me become more effective in sharing that Yeshua is the Messiah and sharing that with our Jewish people. Like, you understand this is what this is about. And he goes, yes, I know. they love me. And I want them to look for it. All right, but go to the next one. Can you go to the next one? All right, this is my family and my three girls. This is actually a year ago when my youngest daughter, we went to Washington, D.C., you know, in support of Israel and against what was happening. Go to the next slide. We're just going to go through some of these quick. But this is for later, right? There's different ways people can receive our prayer newsletter. You can go to the next slide. Yay, so it'll get there. Okay. Go one more. It doesn't always look that way. go to the next one. Yeah. Okay. The Jewish community, Jewish Federation, actually says that if you do an hour radius of Philadelphia, there are about 300,000 Jewish people. Bucks County, where I grew up in, about 46,000, actually. But if we're looking at Montgomery County, Chester, Delaware County, Philadelphia proper, that's, you know, even including Cherry Hill. Right, not just people, but Jewish people. I personally used to work at Drexel University for 10 years. So I do a lot of work on different college campuses. Personally, this is kind of just part of where my heart is. You can go on to the next slide. We're just going to show just a little bit of the taste of things related to me. Just, you know, different things. Oh, yeah, lots of Bible studies. And you go, I'll show, you go to the next slide, I'll show a bunch of pictures. You know, reaching out to people, you can keep up with that. Okay. This is actually the congregation that I go to, which is in Media. Jew and Gentile, one Messiah. We're probably maybe 50% Jewish, 50%, you know, Gentile believers, like just one Messiah together. You can go on to the next one. It's great to partner with a lot of different ministries. This is just some, just kind of in very few. Next slide, because I love this other Actors Bible, actorsbible.com, beautiful, beautiful ministry. Go to the next one. And just other pictures, you can keep on going. You go to the next slide. Oh, actually, stop here. This is the University of Pennsylvania. Up there. This is the University of Pennsylvania on the left, University of Delaware on the right. Great ways of being able to go out and about. Actually, the chaplain at the University of Pennsylvania is a believer. We don't have that many times on some campuses. And so he's great because when I go onto the campus, I contact him. And so that way when people sometimes complain to him, he's able to go, oh, no, I know. You know, I know Ari, and it's an organization that he says over 100 years old, you know, so people, and that's it. Okay, next slide. This is actually in New York City. So for the last 3 years, even though I've been involved with some other areas, but for over the years, but the last 3 years, it's been a beautiful opportunity. Myself and another person have been able to co-lead one of our mission trips. This is actually pictures from last year. It's about 55 folks. We do, you know, outreach in and around New York City, right? And a variety of stories and outreach and salvation. And the big thing this year that happened over and over and over again was the amount of Israelis. We were able to interact with over 150 Israelis, let alone all other different kinds of people and Jewish people. And a part of it is because of this theme, this never again, never alone theme. People wanting to come. And even though we're talking about Yeshua, how he's our hope in the midst of this, and, it is a huge witness, particularly to see Christians in the midst of all this darkness standing. Go to the next slide. You can keep on going. Some more pictures here. That was Vacation Bible School last year. Yeah, some words to hear you on the streets. Keep on going. Ten Commandments. All right, keep on going. Actually, go backwards one for a second. It's great to go on. So can you go backwards one, is that right? It's great to go on different campuses, or just anywhere, and ask questions. Actually, I would love to find out and maybe connect with the people that are at Westchester University that you were mentioning with, and just kind of, I like partnering and coming along. I do that a lot with, like, Crew, who's a great friend of mine, and I join him on the beaches, campuses, we do a lot of stuff, so I like that partner. But it's great to just ask questions, and then, you know, things get going. Go to the next slide. A camp that we run in Tel Hai, camp, which is not that far away from here. You go to the next slide. It's great to invite people over to our house and our home. This is believers and non-believers, friends, for holidays, and we get to share. Also, next slide. This is actually, this is from years ago, but this is what I just built. And so we were sitting with my parents, and this is part of the holiday we're in. Next slide. This is a very nice rabbi friend of mine in Brooklyn. I met him when I was out in California, and I was going to something called Chabad, and God's just given me favor with this one particular place, and I go there, and they, they're trying to, I share with them the issue is the Messiah, they tell me I'm wrong, they're trying to bring me back, it's okay, we go back and forth. I slept with the rabbi, that's the whole, I sent him one of my papers, but this gentleman, when I first met him, he railed into me. There was about eight people, they were really kind of, they were sharing their heart as to why they don't believe Jesus is true, as the Messiah. And he went into this whole thing about the atrocities of our people in the name of Jesus over the centuries. And as he's doing, and I'm tearing up and I'm crying as we're doing this. And he stops. And he says, Ari, you have a Jewish neshama, which just means a Jewish soul. Because he saw that I was still caring about that. That is actually what ended up building our relationship. And now we can. I actually got together with him in New York a number of years ago. We were praying together, we're doing it, and we went out to a restaurant afterwards. And I'm trying to share about Yeshua, Jesus being the Messiah, and I could only really kind of get so far, right? Next thing you know, we get to a conversation about covenant. And he starts saying about how covenant is also a connection, a partnership, where each party has different roles, responsibilities, and things like that. And then I said, well, wait a second, what about the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15? When Abraham was asleep, and only God, the Spirit of God, this sort of actually went through these pieces of animals, this covenant, that God is the only party in that actually was making covenant. He had Abraham asleep. God was going to be faithful to that promise covenant only based on him. It wasn't some tit for tat, right? If you clean your room, you get an ice cream, right? This is an unconditional, and God's going to be faithful only because of his own faithfulness. And he takes out his phone and he goes into the Hebrew because he knows that, 200 times better than I do. And he literally said, you learn something new every day. Now, that wasn't about Yeshua specifically, but it was something that he saw that I was able to come alongside as a learner or whatever, do something about another that he respected, and then we talked about Yeshua all the time. We don't know what that piece, might be. So, next slide. We'll go through some of these. You can keep on going. This is after where he studies, other folks. Actually, this is the family on the left. Like a reformed Jewish, like a very liberal Jewish family. It's actually the imam on Drexel's campus, on the right-hand side. You go to the next slide, and we're getting here. Now, this might be surprising. Maybe not, but Jewish people are actually one of the most unreached people as it relates to the gospel, period, in the world. When we think of unreached, when we think of groups and they do studies. We wouldn't necessarily think of that. And so we have the honor to be able to try to bring the good news, right, which we were supposed to bring back to them. And thankfully, I'm so thankful for people who are intercessors. I wish I was more so of that. I'm an open my mouth, declare his praise, need to shut up some more. Actually, when sharing it on the streets or with people or personally, I'm actually less of a talker. Because I want to ask them questions, because I want to get to know what they think and where they're at. But also social etiquette, just a thing for Westchester. If you can ask people questions, and let's say they talk for 10 minutes, because you're asking them more. And it's good because you get to really learn more about them. Okay, now it's real. Social etiquette is they'll give you 3 minutes to kind of share. Not where before you might not have got 30 seconds. So there's actually, I know that sounds salesy, but I mean, there are some benefits, just that. But also, one of the best questions When you ask people about, you know, what they might find to be objectionable, confusing, hypocritical, whatever it may be, you know, give me your complaints, whatever it is. First of all, even in doing that and welcoming it, that's respectful, and people like respond to that. They're a little surprised. And the best question after that is to then say, to acknowledge what they said, whether some of them are good points or not good points, and then to say, what else? Because they're getting ready to now have the other person, you know, I want to know more. But also, that is very disarming. It makes it more of a real conversation. But also, it lets them know, it's okay, you can give me more of your complaints. Sometimes, some of the deeper stuff come out after that. Sometimes, it's just knowing that they can throw up on me. And I'm not going to be, like, in a whirlwind. So I guess what else? Okay, next one. All right, and now that we've kind of gone through that, let's get into the Word. And let's get into gospel and to sharing. I love the book of Romans. To me, the book of Romans is also so Jewish. But this is written to a community at that point, which is a Gentile-dominated believing, you know, community. Also, because at a certain point, the Jewish people were kicked out of Rome, but it's important when we're going through some of this that, like, this is one of the things in life sometimes where actually pronouns can matter. So, like, a lot of times when he's saying you, he's talking to Gentile believers, and many times in the scriptures here in Romans when he's saying they, he's talking about Jewish people. But let's just do a quick look at the heart of the apostle and the heart of God in the book of Romans. Okay? So, right, the Great Commission. Some people have said that maybe the great omission is not sharing with Jewish people as part of the Great Commission. just wonderful thing. So go to the next Bible. Let's look at this. And I know it's cut off on the bottom here, but I want to read verse 17. By the way, Romans 1:17. This is the verse that changed Martin Luther's life. Okay? And interesting enough, it is a quote from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the prophet Habakkuk. It is basically talking about the gospel from the verse 4 and in verse 17. For in it, meaning the good news, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'm reading from a New King James right here. And that is it, the just shall live by faith. This was the verse that really became this whirlwind that ended up impacting his life. That we know has had other impacts. Now we can talk about some of the other, you know, parts of Luther's life, and you know, there's things that we can be grateful for, things we can cringe about, but this is actually, let's look at the very verse before us. Right? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Right? The gospel of Messiah. Great. Right, for everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, sometimes the word first, this is proton in Greek, sometimes the word first can mean like when I woke up, I first went into the bathroom and washed my face. And after that, then second, you know, and then I finished that. And then second, like, I got dressed, and I finished that. And third, I got in my car, and I drove, you know, a sequence of things. Or there could be like a seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, meaning make it a priority. It's not like you kind of do that and then finish it and then go on to something else, right? Okay. So the way that it's understood and used here is that there's a priority scenario. It does not mean to the Jew better. But we're going to talk about in here, what does Jewish salvation in a certain unique way highlight or show? And that's what we're going to kind of talk about here. So can you go to the next slide? So let's do a quick run-through of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 basically go into a variety of things of sharing that the nations And the Gentiles are guilty before God, and the Jewish people are also guilty before God. For different reasons. Romans 3. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is on the church website, right in the Romans script. Okay? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, what do we do? Well, Romans 4 helps show us the answer, the way to then have righteousness or standing before God or from God. And it's the example of Abraham. So I'm going to go to Romans 4 right here. And Romans 4, interesting enough, quotes, I mentioned Genesis 15, when God made covenant with Abraham in that chapter. The beginning of that chapter in Genesis 15 is Abraham actually complaining, looking to God, like, you know, he doesn't have a child, he doesn't have an heir. Because there's someone as part of a company, like one of the workers, and they're named Eliezer, and he's like, he's my only heir. And then God brings Abraham outside, right? Look at all the stars in the sky, right? Well, first he says, Al tira Abram. He says, do not fear Abram. Thankfully, when God says many times about that, he doesn't just say, don't fear. He then gives us reasons and information why. So, for example, in there, I think this is in verse, it might be in verse 1. But he says, he basically says, Anochi magin lach. He says, for I am a shield to you. And then he says, and I'll be your great reward. Many times throughout Scripture, when God tells us to not be afraid, thankfully, he now gives us reason for then us to hold on to. And so Abraham's like asking for a child. Basically, it's like you know, if my car breaks down, I need a car. And then someone says, here's this whole fleet of limousines. Right? Basically, God's saying, it's going to be all these descendants. And Abram's reaction wasn't like, oh, what do I... really? Like, it was just, and he believed in the Lord. And then God reckoned that as righteousness. Moses. He believed. A lot of times for us, you know, when we think about faith, we go, oh, am I more faithful today? What is faith? This helps me. Faith, in a sense, when we think Abraham, is just believing God is faithful. Right? It's just trusting that God is faithful. And so that is what was credited to him as righteousness. In chapter 4, Paul quotes that verse. He believed that, and that was what was credited to his righteousness. He actually quotes that 3 times, even in this one chapter. Teaching, this is the way. Because all of us have been falling short, but it's by faith. By faith. And then in chapter 5, you get the great statements like, God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, Romans 5, verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. Right? So, yes, it's by faith, but then there has to be a reconciling of our sin and our junk, and then that's the gift, then, of the Lord doing that on our behalf, and so that's the karma. Right? And there's wonderful things in 6 and 7, 8, but let's go to the next. Could you go to the next slide? You can give a go to the next one. Let's look at the end of Romans 8. This great, amazing promise at the end of Romans 8. And only because instead of me constantly like turning around, you know, like I'm just going to read it. I'm not sure if the version that I used on the screen was the New King James that I'm reading right here, but you understand. So let's look at the end of Romans 8, the great promise. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, right? Nothing not right will be able to separate us from the love of God for Messiah Yeshua our Lord.
Amen.
Now, this is such an outlandish and big statement. It makes sense that people would go, okay, how can we know and stand that that is true? And at that time, because there were only a remnant of Jewish people that actually were believing and following and trusting that Yeshua was the Messiah, but unfortunately the majority of the people in leadership didn't, right? I mean, Yeshua's own words and heartache and claim against his people, our people. And I don't say against, but for his people. In his first coming, is that we did not recognize the time of his appearing. Right? The time of his visitation. I think it's in Luke. And so we have this right here. Paul is now answering, in a sense, some objections or maybe some things that he's heard. People wondering, because they're like, wait a minute, didn't God have this covenant with the Jewish people? And people are wondering, well, we're not really seeing some of that really coming to fruition, or they're rejecting, you know, at least, you know, majority of whether he's the Messiah. And then they wonder, is God now doing just some plan B? Like, he's now kind of left that. Because if he's not faithful to the covenants and the promises that he's made even there, what can we stand on these, quote, new covenant promises? We can actually stand on these because we know he is faithful and a promise keeper. Right, Bob? And so, I personally believe that, in part, the next three chapters is a proof text example of the faithfulness of God in lieu of us, in spite of us, and using the Jewish people as an example of God still being a redeemer, only for his name's sake. So that way we know, collectively, we can then stand on the truth of these verses right here. So let's go to the very next verse right after this, Romans 9. Paul says, I tell the truth in Messiah. Where else do we see Paul writing? Like, of course he's telling the truth. We don't see him in, like, the other chapter. But by the way, this next sentence I'm going to say is the truth. Remember? And then he's like, I'm not lying. Even my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. Because he knows he's going to say something so amazing, he wants the people to know this is really true. It's basically that he had this sorrow in his heart. He wished that he could even be accursed from Messiah. That means lose his salvation. We only see in Scripture two people, at least overtly in Scripture, that had this kind of a heart and for the people. Moses, who actually said that he would be willing to have his name blotted out of the book of life, and Paul right here, that he would lose his salvation. For who? For my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. This was his heart. Willing to, you know, his salvation for the salvation of his people. Right? From the heart of God, right? But then we have here the people who have the glory, the covenants, the oracles, you know, all these things. And then we fell. We fell in terms of our righteousness. Can you go to the next slide? This is later on in chapter 9. Okay, I know we're kind of doing just some bits and pieces here. But in verse 30, a very interesting question, talking about, wait a second, the Gentiles, you know, aren't getting saved. And the question is, what do we say? And I'll read it here. That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, they weren't even pursuing righteousness, have attained it. They attained it. They attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. They weren't pursuing it, but they had attained it. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, right? They were trying to pursue it, have not attained the law of righteousness? A sad answer is yes. Right? It says, why? Because they, talking about the Jewish people, did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Not seeking it by the very way that Abraham even to begin with was credited as righteousness from the Lord. By faith. So really, the example of Abraham. If you go to the next slide, which is the very next verse, the beginning of 10, chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Right? This is the heart. Now, it says, go to the next slide. We'll go to the next slide. Just going down a little bit. Right? This is all the heart of God. By the way, some of the famous outreach, evangelism, great scriptures, the things that we've heard, are right in this context. Okay? And we have right here, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua, right, Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? This is, and this is true to anyone. And you write, with the heart one believes and mouth one confesses. Next slide. This is a, you go to the next slide. Right? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, right? This is the universal, anyone, whosoever. And this is great. And this can be applied anywhere. It's kind of heartwarming for me to know that the original context of these verses and the ones we're going to read right next are related to the heart of Paul and the heart for Jewish people to be saved. Look at the very next slide, the very next verse. How then shall they call on him? The they originally here being talked about is the Jewish people. Even though this can be collectively used for us, really for anyone in our, you know, broader application and evangelism, but it's basically how will they believe? And then, you know, you have the great verses here. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, of good news, who bring tidings of good news. Mm-hmm. Can you go to the, by the way, that comes from Isaiah 52 right here. It continues with who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Which, for people that were here earlier, Sylvia, a little similar to the role play we did. Right? About, you know, connecting in your God. Go to the next slide. We're back here in Romans. Now, let's go to the first verse of Romans 11. Right? I say then, has God cast away his people? Because this is a real honest question people at the time were having, and Paul was connected. By the way, this is a place Paul had not been to yet. He's writing this as a letter to the folks there before he's going to come. And he says, right, by no means or certainly not. And he uses himself as an example. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Thank God. Right? But it's okay that people were wondering because they're looking at the broader Jewish community in that day. Today, Jewish people, an unreached people group. Someone earlier today was telling me about when they were actually sharing and meeting, they met this one Jewish person, a man who's actually a rabbi who believes in Hinduism and other New Age, and was kind of like, well, how does that all kind of work? And you might think, so, because a lot of our Jewish people, even though there might be a lot of practices and holidays and things like that, many of our Jewish people worldview, if you think about who God is and who we are, or maybe who we are in need of and separation from him, and all, many times the people's worldviews can just be very secular or New Age or like this, even if there's more identity and practice. But you have this right here. Can you go to the next one? You can go on to the next one. And then in Romans, right, that there's a, thankfully he says, you know, be encouraged, there is a remnant. That there's always this remnant of Jewish people saved by grace. I'm just amazed I could be part of the remnant. Next slide. Verse 11. Oh, this is such a good one. Verse 11. I say then, have they, meaning the Jewish people, have they stumbled that they should fall? Sometimes people will say, like, beyond recovery, like, the direct, and certainly not. But through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now I skipped something, right? To provoke them to jealousy. Whether you believe it or not, part of your identity as a believer, as a Christian believer, I'm not saying this has to be like a overt calling, but like part of your identity calling, which is just an amazing thing, in part, by God's grace, is actually to be a witness, to provoke my people back to the Lord. And how? By the example of how you were able to receive righteousness and standing. How? By the example of Abraham to begin with anyway. By faith. You go to right if our fall was riches to the world, and our failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fruitfulness? Go to the next slide. We'll just keep going. Paul's wonderful thing. He said he magnifies his ministry amongst the Gentiles. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's his heart. That's the great thing. But also, with the, you know, other side hope that his people would be able to get saved. And maybe saved through the witness that even these Gentiles are loving and being loved by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. and the Messiah Yeshua Jesus. Next slide. So, this is where we're going to go. It talks about an olive tree. Now, let's do a little picture here. You have this tree, and it's an olive tree, and some people like say, oh, it's just a Jewish olive tree. But Jewish people, like I would be like a branch, and it's because of unbelief, like a branch broken off, and then kind of put out here, like into a like separate, a place of disobedience. What God is using is he's saying, hey, check this out. There's like another tree, like another olive tree, something that's like wild by nature. Can you imagine taking a branch from that, bringing it over to this olive tree, and grafting it in? So that now it's like one with this tree. Or partnering. And that's the concept of that the nations can actually go ahead and be like a branch and get grafted in really to the Lord, right? It's not grafted into church, it's grafted into the Lord. Now, I want to see what we have here. Can you go to the next slide? Love this. Look at this verse right here. And they, meaning the Jewish people, the branches that were kind of broken off and now were separate, if they do not continue in unbelief, can be re-grafted back in. Many times when people are taught or hear about this grafted, it's almost only thinking about Gentiles getting grafted in to this tree. Almost as if it's like let's say I'm here and people get grafted into my thing. You know, or like something like a higher than less than stuff. No, actually, grafted in is just a born again process, Jew or Gentile. Because the Jewish people, now by faith, they can get re-grafted in also. The key about this is that we had to fall to be in this other place of disobedience, the place where the nations were, so that equally we are all coming from that place by mercy and grace and faith, equally before the Lord, back in. Does that make sense? Now, can you go, right, you can get grafted back in. Yes, all the rest of these things, that's in the, we can talk about that another time. We can go to the next slide. Okay. It says, God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on them all. We had to fall to disobedience so that equally then, Jew and Gentile can both come by faith from this place and get grafted into it. This equal before the Lord. This is really key. Now, I have a key in my pocket. Right? This is a tool to start my car. Actually, did I even bring it here? Yeah. Here's a tool, right? To make phone calls and waste time. Right? God is using different people, different things for different purposes to highlight his own self and character. But in what way can God possibly take the Jewish people like a tool and highlight his character? And in his nature and his character is he's a redeemer. If that's one of his great characteristics. What is the way he can use the Jewish people as a way to show he's a redeemer? By us being an example of a people who need to be redeemed. Who had the glory, the oracles, the covenants, and fell. But regardless of us, because God is a faithful, promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God, will go ahead and redeem and save. So, listen, God gets declared to be a redeemer through all different kinds of, you know, people groups and things like that. But there is a unique way that God is able to be shown that he is a redeemer by a people group who had a covenant and fell. The new covenant promise in Jeremiah 31 talks about how we broke the covenant, even though he was a husband to us, but it's okay, he's going to give us a new covenant, you know, even to the people that broke it. And this will be, so he has highlighted that he's a redeemer. Now, everyone really loves the romantic versions of, like, what it might mean to be chosen. Right, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, right, through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Actually, the first overt reason why God even made a subset of people through Abraham, at least what's written in Scripture, is that we're supposed to be a blessing to all the other people. The not so romantic version of what it means to be chosen is to be an example of a people who needs to be redeemed. But that highlights that about it. Be an example of a people who had it and fell, but he was still saved. And stay around. And this helps us to know God is faithful. Go to the next slide. I don't know what I have. I need to get clear right now. Because I don't have the Romans 8 thing, but I'm going to go back to Romans 8. The very end of Romans 8. Because here's this example, Romans 9, 10, 11, of God's faithfulness to the people of Israel and in general. But this now gives us this reason to believe. Just like when God said, do not fear, Abram, right? I am a shield for you. Here's some reasons so that we can believe that I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Amen. You are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, you are our Father. And John, you actually say that you're your friend. It's just, but Father God, thank you that you are a Redeemer. Thank you that you're a Savior. Thank you that you are one who forgives. Thank you that you are working gazillion things behind the scenes. Thank you for the things that you give us a glimpse on that we can see. And I pray that what we did here today, that you know, you said you sent the Holy Spirit, right, to be our teacher, our comforter, and lead us in all truth. And so just comfort us with whatever pieces of this, have those pieces of truth be what would help us to be more amazed by you or grateful, right, that we could love you more and love other people more. And Father, have mercy on others in the way that you've had mercy on us. And I'm just so thankful for Steve earlier who prayed. And if you knew there's anyone right here who has not yet had this miracle of forgiveness of sin, this salvation, right? Mm-hmm. To believe in their heart. So I'm just going to read, it's better to just read straight scripture. So, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen.
Amen.